Shelley, you want to open up in prayer, please?
Yeah. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just rejoice to come and hear your word today. This bell brings it. And work it into our hearts and into our souls so that we can be better representatives of you. In Jesus' name.
Good morning, everybody. Most of our text is going to be in Genesis. If you guys want to open up to that, Genesis 32. Like, most of the bulk of it's going to be there, so you want to get that ready. So sports have been a big part of my life. I continue to surf up to this current day. The strategy is always involved. Other players are also involved, even if you are into action sports, like surfing. It takes practice to achieve certain goals for each sport. Some players or sports figures get great at what they do, and some just settle for the enjoyment of the sport. There are also spectators at different sporting events. Corporations and colleges alike always like it when a candidate has been involved in sports. It's beneficial to, either for an outlet in your personal life or team-building motivation. This all being said, as I was driving through the canyons on the way home from work one day, thinking about the day-to-day struggles that seem to be endless, and the Holy Spirit brought to my attention Jacob. The first sport I know of in the Bible was God wrestling Jacob. Jacob actually won the match, but God won the event by default. Jacob was too determined to win no matter what the cost. I guess he didn't walk so good after that round. So how often are we convinced in our minds that we have to accomplish something that has already been accomplished by God? We actually create the struggles that we are going through. Our sinful nature tells us to continue in our own path that we think is necessary. This happened to Jacob most of his life. So Romans 9:11-13. Yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Some people question this a lot. Not so much about Jacob and Esau, but how can a loving God allow this to happen? In Jacob's case, it is God's providence that saves him. God chooses his people before they are born, so it is not a matter of works. This is his choice because he is God. Jacob was nothing special. If anything, he was a cunning, conniving person that probably talked a big talk and argued until he got his way. We all know people like this. In Esau's case, God is not the author of sin. Esau condemned himself. His heart was so bad that he sold his birthright for a bowl of stew, but then repented, wanting his father's blessing, but did not get it and wanted to kill Jacob. The irony was that he thought he could get his blessing back with a bowl of tasty stew, the very thing he gave up his birthright for. Paul declares he himself is the worst of sinners, yet he is saved by God's grace through the blood of Jesus. Sinners always feel guilty and say to themselves, oh, I will reform and not do these evil things, trying to save themselves by works. But God will tell them in the end, I did not know you. Esau's only blessing from Isaac was this, Genesis 27:39-40. Your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke off from your neck. Unlike Jacob's blessing, Genesis 27, 27 and 29. The smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your sons and your mother bow down to you. So we're going to start Jacob's story right when Jacob left his family to go search for his uncle Laban, Rebecca's brother, his mom's brother. So Genesis 28, 10 through 12. Genesis 28, 10 through 12. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. He reached a certain place. He stopped for the night because the sun had set. It was 10 through 22. Sorry, guys. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give to you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God is with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. So it's so astonishing to me when I read this story that even after Jacob was shown the gates of heaven with the Lord standing above it and God giving him his own personal blessing, Jacob still bargained with God in his mind. Genesis 28, 20 through 22. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on my journey I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear that so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all of that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Jacob had been given two blessings in a short amount of time, but somehow didn't really think either of them would stick. In Jacob's defense, though, it had to be hard for him not being the favored child in the family. Isaac loved Esau. He was a man's man. This had to have had a great effect on how Jacob handled his situations and conflicts. His dad didn't really like him that much. How much more would God? A barter would be in his mindset. Basically, all he had at that point before God spoke to him, Jacob pretty much stolen. With God on our side and we being his children, there isn't a blessing that he won't withhold. Our sinful nature, when we aren't relying on him, takes over and doubts set in. Thus, the struggles begin. Jacob continued on to his destination to meet his uncle Laban that his father had told him about, far away from Esau. Jacob had met Rachel, his cousin, along the way and fell in love with her. Laban was a rich man, so Jacob stayed and aligned himself with Laban in order to marry Rachel. So after Jacob had to work 7 years for Laban in order to pay for Rachel, Laban tricked him and gave him his older daughter, Leah, instead of Rachel. Jacob argued with him, and because Laban knew Jacob was good for business, gave him Rachel for another 7 years worth of work. Jacob was basically working for free. Leah started having sons right away. God knew Jacob didn't treat her the same as he did Rachel, so God blessed her with a bunch of kids, including Judah, which she declares, end quote, "This time I will praise the Lord." Before Judah, Reuben, Simeon, and Levi were born. Leah attributed her children then to God because she knew God had blessed her with them because of the lack of love shown to her by Jacob. Rachel started getting jealous, so she gave Jacob her maidservant Bilhah to have children with, which was Dan and Naphtali. Then Leah had Gad and Asher and Zebulun and a daughter named Dinah. And in Genesis 30:22, then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and opened her womb. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, "God has taken away my disgrace." She named him Joseph and said, "May the Lord add to me another son." In the midst of all the children Jacob was having with Leah, he said something profound to Rachel. Genesis 30:1-2. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die." Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children?" This solidifies the fact that Jacob knew who God was and what blessings he was receiving because of God. His family was growing and he was being made more powerful every day. He wanted to take his family away, but Laban didn't want him to leave, so he bartered with Laban again and acquired a fortune of spotted animals. So Jacob finally just took off and left Laban secretly with all of his family and livestock he was promised. I'm sure he was stressed out about the situation, but he had enough of Laban and his father-in-law. When God tells us and promises us certain things, we need to have faith that these things are so. That's what separates us from sinners. If you believe in me, you will be saved. God's blessing upon Jacob was the same. Now he had Laban at his back and his brother Esau at his front. God's promise to Jacob was that he would prosper him and take care of him, but he was always somewhat fearful. He even made an oath with Laban after things were settled between them in the fear of Isaac. I think Jacob knew in his heart that he was always doing something deceiving to make it in this world and not relying on God's promise to take care of him. He was also up to his old ways concerning his brother. He came up with a strategic plan like in the game of chess to meet his brother head on. Being cautious is a good thing, but one of Isaac's blessings to him was that all his sons would bow down to him. God's angels even met him along the way, but Jacob was still going along with his plan. Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to meet his brother. When they came back and said, "His brother is coming to meet him," he got scared. So Genesis 32:7-21. Genesis 32:7-21. In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and herds and camels as well. He thought, if Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape. Then Jacob prayed, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown to your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper, and will make your descendants like the sands of the sea, which cannot be counted. He spent the night there, and from what he had with him, he had selected a gift from his brother Esau. 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 female camels and their young, 40 cows and 10 bulls and 20 female donkeys, 10 male donkeys. He put them in the care of his servants, each herd by itself, and said to his servants, go ahead of me and keep some space between the herds. He instructed the one in the lead, when my brother Esau meets you and asks, to whom do you belong and where are you going? and who owns all these animals in front of you, then you are to say, they belong to your servant Jacob. They are gifts sent to you, sent to my lord Esau, and he is coming behind us. He also instructed the second and third and all the others who followed the herds. You are to say the same thing to Esau when you meet him, and be sure to say, your servant Jacob is coming behind us. For he thought, I will pacify him with these gifts I am sending on ahead. Later when I see him, perhaps he will receive me. So Jacob's gifts went on ahead of him, but he himself spent the night in the camp. So when we succumb to great fear or distress, a lot of hope is lost. Our only choice is to pray and rely on God. This is a struggle for most. Our carnal minds don't know what the result will be. And fear pretty much takes over. This situation was definitely a struggle for Jacob, even though God had already told him the outcome. God always gives us signs along the way, showing us that he is there with us, just like the angels Jacob saw. Because God has chosen us as his people, he will always be there for us during our struggles. We need to only rely on his grace to cover us during our battles. For it is only by grace that we are saved. God testifies this through our hearts so that our only reliance is on him and not ourselves. So, Genesis 32:22-32. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. The man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. So Jacob's struggles with man were battles that he had overcome. He had also struggled with God and overcome that also. He knew at that point that the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, was his God also. There was no passage before this point that states that he is the God of Jacob before God changes his name to Israel. Israel in Hebrew means God contended, wrestles with God, and triumphed with God. Jacob's faith in God was confirmed at this point, and even though he continued to have hardships throughout the rest of his life, there was more of a sense of peace, Jacob knowing God was his God and he was his provider and protector. When we get to know our God and realize that he has been here with us the whole time, it's not just on Sundays, but he is there in our day-to-day lives, there is peace. Job tells God this after all that Job had to go through. Job 42:5. "My ears have heard of you, but now I see you." Paul tells us to rejoice in our struggles and to be anxious for nothing. We see in Jacob's story that this is true. God is our protector and provider. And even though we wrestle with God from time to time, the battle is his and he will be victorious. Jacob's struggle was with his own will to believe God was his God also, and that he would be with him wherever he went, even to confront his brother. We see in Hosea 12:4, Jacob actually weeping and begging to be blessed, not demanding, but begging. As humans and God's children, we have this anxious desire to know what will happen. Thus, the wrestling match begins. Hosea 12:4. He struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favor. Decades before Jacob's father had asked him what his name was, he had said Esau. This time when he was asked, he didn't lie and he said his name was Jacob. Many of us unsuccessfully try to be people we are not. We are God's children and he lets us know this. Jacob was alone with God there at that river. He had sent all his possessions and his family across the river. When we find ourselves alone with God, he will draw near to us. James 4:8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. These are usually emotional situations where we will be wrestling over our struggles. He touches us and blesses us in every possible way. We need to tell him what we are struggling with and he will help us. Jesus touched the leper who was begging Jesus to help him and Jesus healed him. So, Genesis 33. So Jacob looked up, and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided his children among Leah, Rachel, and his two maidservants. He put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. And they wept. Then Esau looked up and saw the women and children. Who are these with you? He asked. Jacob answered, they are the children God has graciously given your servant. Then the maidservant and their children approached and bowed down. Next, Leah and her children came and bowed down. Last of all, Joseph and Rachel, they too bowed down. Esau asked, what do you mean by all these droves I met? To find favor in your eyes, my lord, he said. But Esau said, I already have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. No, please, said Jacob. If I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God, now that you have received me favorably. Please accept the present that was brought to me for you, for God has been gracious to me, and I have all I need. And because Jacob insisted, Esau accepted. Then Esau said, let us be on our way. I'll accompany you. But Jacob said to him, My lord knows that the children are tender and that I must care for the ewes and cows that are nursing their young. If they are driven hard, just one day all the animals will die. So let my lord go on ahead of his servant while I move along slowly at the pace of the droves before me and that my children, or that of my children, of the children until I come to my lord in Seir. Esau said, then let me leave some of my men with you. But why do that? Jacob asked. Just let me find favor in the eyes of my lord. So that day, Esau started on his way back to Seir. Jacob, however, went to Succoth, where he built a place for himself and made shelters for his livestock. That is why the place is called Succoth. After Jacob came to Padan Aram, he arrived safely at the city of Shechem in Canaan, and camped within the side of the city. 400 pieces of silver he bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, the plot of ground where he pitched his tent. There he set up an altar and called it El Elohoi Israel. So to conclude, at the very end of Jacob's life, when Jacob was bestowing his blessings on Joseph and his children, we see his reflection on his relationship with God. 48:15-16. Then he blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my father, by the names of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and may they greatly increase upon the earth. Jacob's name, Israel, in the end, emulates his life, triumphant with God.